and welcome to episode 17 of the Bouncing Back podcast with me, James Middleton. Excited to be here as always and talk to you guys about the topic this week, which is the ways that you are or may be preventing your own growth. A fascinating topic and one that I've wanted to do for a while, but having had so many other topics to get in there, the time has been delayed a little bit. But here we are. Here we are, preventing your own growth. Are you one of those people that are preventing your own growth? Or is there something in your life that's stopping you from getting to where you want to be? Now, many of us blame our circumstances, our setbacks, our disadvantages in life, people around us, anything and anyone but ourselves. Yet, this untapped potential, these dreams, these unobtained dreams are entirely down to you. And maybe you're lacking focus. Perhaps you're not honing in enough on what it actually is that's stopping you from achieving your own growth. In this episode, I am going to discuss some of the key ways and reasons why I believe that so many people fall short in their own personal development. A lot of the time, and for a lot of people, they lose sight of what will make them grow as a person. But not only that, what they truly care about. And it's a well-known phenomenon that our minds can be our own worst enemy. I've spoken about this before in previous episodes, how on a daily basis we have to battle with our own heads and our own thoughts, and how many times that we have all experienced it. You know, when you're in a good headspace and things seem to be going really well in your life, and then boom, your mind just starts throwing all of these concerns and worries and doubts, fears, alarm bells, and you're like, get out of there, I'm having a good patch in my life, just leave me alone for a second. And for no reason at all, these things come barricading in, but it throws you and it stops you in your tracks, right? And you think to yourself, why am I thinking all of this? Where has it come from? Well, frustratingly, it's come from your own mind, which ultimately you are in control of. Or in these instances, perhaps you're not in control of. Sometimes, and I think this applies to everyone, you can be your own hater. We all have that voice of self-doubt, And we may not be able to control the haters on the outside. And on that note, I wouldn't try to. I always say, if people are hating on you, take it as a compliment, because it usually means they're below you and trying to bring you down to their level. And here's something that stuck with me that I heard from someone, is that the boos usually come from the cheap seats. And that's the first quote of the day that you can take away with you and stick in your locker. Anyway, we can't control the hate from the outside, but we can control it from when it's coming from inside of us. And that's what we need to try and do to get it out of the way and stop it from preventing us reaching our full potential and growing as individuals as best as we can. We need to stop blocking our own growth and potential and start recognizing what is possible. So today I'm going to run through some of the things you might be doing that are preventing you from growing. This is so you can hopefully stop self-sabotaging the journey you're on to becoming the best person you can be, and instead recognize perhaps where you're going wrong and the solutions to resolving that. On so many occasions, I hear people, clients saying, God, I wish you would stop doing this to me, or I wish I was in a better environment so that these things would stop happening to me. And what this often is masking is actually, I wish I would stop doing these things to myself. Because guess what? It's no one else's fault usually, but yours. And as a coach and as someone who coaches a lot of people in various different areas of their life, from fitness to mindset to nutrition, I hear it on a daily basis. And that's how I've come to so quickly recognize where these thoughts that people are having are passing the blame onto something else. And usually saying that it's something or someone else's fault. And if it is someone else's fault, passing the blame only passes on the control you have for how you feel. And we know what happens when we give away our control. We feel powerless. we become anxious and we quickly spiral into a world of helplessness, which is a world none of us want to be in. We want to avoid that world at all costs. So I'm going to get straight into it, okay? So the first point that I want to address is the reality that is thinking without ever doing, without ever actioning. And I reckon this is probably one of the biggest reasons why so many people never start things. Why so many people say they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and yet carry on spending their days just thinking about how they're going to do it, or thinking about how they can get all their ducks in a row so the conditions are completely perfect for them to begin. I've been guilty of this, trust me, and I'm sure you have as well. You know, when there's too much analysis, too much assessment, too much overthinking and procrastination, and you know that that's happening, but you're doing it anyway and just putting things off and off and off because you're just trying to think about every single possible thing to do with whatever it is that you're planning to do to make sure that it's all right. This is the kind of behavior that will prevent you from growing, but also achieving the things you want to achieve. If you've been sitting there saying, I need to upload an Instagram post on this, or I need to start going to the gym, as examples for the past, might be 2 weeks, maybe longer, maybe 2 months, even 2 years. You need to just upload that Instagram post. You need to get yourself down to the gym and just show up. If you've been sitting there for a while, and it could be with anything, those are trivial examples, but it could be with anything. I'm sure you've got things in your life that you've been putting off for a while. Have a little think about what those are. And you probably want to shift your ass into gear and get going with it. I'm not saying that you should ever rush into something. No. We don't want to rush. We don't want to jump in reckless. What I'm saying is just start. Please just start. Whatever it is that you've been wanting to start for so long, just do it. Because the first time you do something, it's never, ever going to be perfect. I think back now, my first ever video I did on Instagram to camera was abysmal. I watched a few of my first talking videos the other day because I just wanted to have a laugh at myself, and I honestly cringed at how bad they were. My eyes were all over the place, no contact with the camera. I was umming and erring. I was fidgeting. I wasn't able to stand still. The content that I was talking about was terrible. Same with my first ever email to my subscribers. Rubbish, total rubbish. My first podcast episode even. I had to listen to the whole thing and edit out about 300 ums and ahs and little things I didn't even know I was saying. And it took me hours to edit it because it was the first time I'd spoken in my life for a solid 45 minutes at once without reading a script and freestyling. But it's always going to be the case. And with that, I think you have to break it down and you've got to start small. Break it down with whatever it is you're doing. A lot of the time, we're so overwhelmed with what we're about to do, we don't know where to begin. So we leave it. Take my podcast, for example. Again, the first thing I did was write down 10 episode headings of the topics I wanted to talk about. Cool. I've got an idea of what I want to discuss on my podcast. Then I asked my friend who has his own podcast about the software he uses to record it, to edit it, and to upload it to the various audio platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Play. So I went away, downloaded the recording software, the editing software, the platform needed to upload the podcast. And then I watched some YouTube videos on how to use each of the platforms. YouTube, one of the best places you can go to just learn things in simple, quick videos. So much information, free information on there. So I did that because I wanted to make sure that I was confident in using all this new software and using everything in the right kind of way. Once I did all that, cool. I've got the software. I've got the episodes I want to talk about. Now I need a freaking microphone because I'm not going to rent some fancy studio, because back when I started my podcast, it was COVID and it was a faff and also an unnecessary cost. You can do everything at home these days pretty much. So I needed something to record at home. researched that, what the best mics were, the best ones to set up for at home. I got my mic, sweet, tick, 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 all these little steps, bit by bit. Now I just need to write down some notes for my first episode, the important stuff, the content stuff. And that came last once I kind of got everything else in place and I was comfortable with everything else. Great. First episode, wrote some notes down, started recording. And yeah, of course, I had a few teething problems and a few times I messed up and said some things that didn't make sense or was stuttering and pausing. To be honest, it was a complete nightmare. But I just did it. I just went and did it. And I knew, I understood that it wasn't going to be smooth the very beginning. And I got there. And here I am now. Episode 17. 17 episodes later. 6-7 months later. And over 500,000 downloads in total for all my podcasts. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be in this position when I started. God, I could hardly talk for 45 minutes solid, let alone come up with, you know, 17 episodes to talk about. But the point is this, is these incremental steps that I took one by one to get me into a position where I was then ready to start talking were the things that needed to be done. And off I went. And there are essentially 5 steps to launching anything. The first is learning. The second is experimenting. The third is performing. The fourth is struggling. And the fifth is then driving forward once you have gone through all of those 4 processes. And it's like that with so much. You can apply those 5 steps to pretty much anything when you first start. Now, we think when we learn something, we're going to thrive at it straight away. But actually, we need to be in that learning mode initially. So when you're doing something, you're actively learning from the beginning how to become better and absorbing everything you can. You can then put that to the test and play around, testing different methods. Then you start performing and you get into a groove, but you're always going to encounter some struggles along the way, which you need to be prepared for. And expect, no matter how great your groove is and how well you're doing, there's always going to be little hurdles and little bumps in the road. Always, always going to be. Then when we overcome that, we're into that fifth gear and we're on that driving stage, that fifth stage where we can then produce, and everything is seamless and we're quick at it and we get quicker and we get better and we get more efficient. We're still learning along the way because there's always improvements to be made. But even when you're here, you can't expect to smash it. That first video, first email, first podcast, first business plan, first idea, whatever it is, it's never going to be your best. In fact, the first one you do, the chances are it will be your worst. And at very best, that first one is essentially just a test for you to analyze and to learn from and to do again, but better and better. And each time it will get better. And it will get easier and you'll just be improving every single thing that it is that you're doing. But it's not, and you shouldn't set out to do it to be the best. It's not about being the best all the time and crushing it from the start and having the number one podcast in the world and the highest number of email subscribers out there and the best Instagram content. I used to think like this. I wanted every single thing that I was doing to be the very best, and it stressed me out because I was never satisfied and I was going around in circles and it took the enjoyment out of it. Start doing things just because you want to do them and you enjoy that process and you enjoy the learning and you enjoy seeing how far you come and producing something that is just better and better each time. That is what I get such a big buzz off from doing all the things that I do. Of course it's nice to have a lot of email subscribers. Of course it's nice to have a podcast that does well, but I don't really care too much about the numbers. I care about making the content. That's what I love doing, and learning about things and then discussing them and talking to you about them and getting feedback and engaging with whoever the audience is. That's what it should be about. And it's about starting. It's not about achieving great things. And now I'm going to sit here actually and plead to you that whatever it is you want to do that you've been planning for a while and trying to get everything perfect and all your ducks in a row, just start it. Please just start it. you will thank yourself for it when in 6 months' time you look back and go, damn, I am so glad that I took that jump and just went for it. Because look where I'm at now and look how far it's come. Coach James was right all along. Yes, he was. Okay, so that's the first one, okay? Just start. Start doing something. Stop thinking and thinking and thinking and put whatever it is you're thinking about into action. Numero number two, listening to too many people's opinions. When we ask for too many people's opinions on something, on our own life, we are immediately hindering our own growth and our own potential. Why is that? Why is that, James? You may be thinking. By asking for lots of opinions, and this can be from anyone, your family, your friends, partners, you name it. By asking for lots of opinions, you're allowing all of these people to form an opinion about you. You're giving them an idea of what you should do. And as a result, you're left in a position where you're trying to please everyone. You're taking on board everyone's advice all around you. And usually the advice can be very different and vary massively because, of course, people have different opinions on things or can have yours or maybe their best interest at heart or be biased. You know, that list goes on. So now you're there making sure that you've listened to some of what they've said, and now you're lost in people because you're lost in this people-pleasing mode, right? Additionally, at the same time, it's impossible to live up to everyone's opinions or follow what everyone has said to you. And so, as well as now trying to people-please all these people that you've gone to for opinions, you now feel guilty. You feel bad because you have to ignore some people's opinions. But you came to them for advice in the first place. So now you feel like you're draining your friends and putting your baggage onto them, which you didn't come to them in the first place to do. And to top it all off, you've asked for so many opinions, received so many varied opinions back, you still don't know what you should do. And you're even more confused in the first place. Oh yeah, and you have to deal with the inevitable. So James, did you take my advice then? What was their response? We've all had that. So if you are someone that goes around and asks lots of people for their opinion, I want you to stop. And here's why. Instead, I would suggest going to specific people for specific things. Just like when you need your sink unblocked, you don't call the paramedics, do you? Unless obviously it's catastrophic and you're drowning in your sink, but that's highly unlikely. You don't call the paramedics to fix your sink. Or another example, if you need your tire changing, you don't take it to the dry cleaners, do you? So why go to people who a lot of the time know nothing about or have no experience in what you're trying to get help with? The amount of times when breakups happen or things in relationships and people turn to their friends just to hear what they want to hear because their friend is biased and is obviously going to have their back. Don't go and get advice knowing that it's just going to feed your ego or just because you're seeking some kind of validation for your own thoughts or comfort. Seek out people who you believe are genuinely going to help you and know lots about either the situation or the thing you're seeking an opinion or advice from or have had experience in the situation you are in. We so often ask for an opinion on something that these people know very little about. They don't know about your relationship. They don't know about your business, your friend, your partner. And to add to that, they may not even have the skill set to give valid advice to you. I set up a rule for myself where in my life now, I have specific people and mentors that I turn to for advice on different things. And I try to never cross the wires between these people. You know, so as an example, I've got a therapist to help with grief and emotional advice. I have a business mentor to help with my businesses. The same for my social media. I have someone who I turn to about relationship advice. I hardly go to all these people about all of my problems, as I found it's far better to have specific individuals for specific help or advice, and you keep it separate. It's an absolute game changer. And it means that I can focus my energy much more efficiently because I'm not having to explain the same thing over and over and over again to multiple people. So try to figure out the areas of your life you usually go to people for opinions or help or advice for, and then try to pinpoint the best kinds of people, or more specifically person, the fewer and more concise the better, to really help you and to support you. And then when you do reach out to this person, here's another thing: don't go barricading in with your problems like an unannounced ex arriving at your door. No one wants that. No one likes that. You want to reach out and ask that person if it's okay to reach out to them and say that you wanted to run a few questions by them and you'd really appreciate and value their perspective on it. It's a good way of just letting that person know and giving them the option to help. And it puts you in a good position with that person from the outset, as it's more likely that they'll give you an honest answer rather than turning to them just when you need them and being that person that just calls someone and just blurts out a load of stuff, because that's annoying. And I have a few people in my life who sometimes do that, and I have to remind them, you know, this isn't free counseling and therapy. Like, I get you want to talk to me about some stuff and you want my opinion, but, you know, just give me a heads up, all right? I'm in the middle of doing something, probably having a nap. Anyway, so the bottom line is this: save your energy, because remember, you've only got a finite amount on this earth and each day, so use it wisely. Save your time equally. You have to be resourceful with this, your time, the earth's most precious commodity, your most precious commodity, your time. And stop obstructing your own opinion by asking absolutely everyone in your life, you know, for their opinion and about things that are happening in your life, okay? So start allocating areas of your life you would like help with and advice on, and go to the right person who's in the best position to help, not just with your best mate who you know is going to say what you want to hear or has absolutely no idea and just says words to make you happy. Capiche? Good. That was point number two. Point number three. The third reason I think a lot of people prevent their growth is because they try and do absolutely everything themselves. This can be due to an element of wanting control over everything, to feel like they have a hold or some kind of power over everything, or because they lack trust in other people doing things for them. The funny thing with this is I've just described myself and what I was like a few years ago when I launched my online coaching business. With any business, of course, when you start it, you've got to do all the work. You know, you're putting in all the hours, you're putting in the groundwork to build that business from the ground up and learning about absolutely everything you can. You know, you're failing, you're readjusting, you're making mistakes, you're rebuilding, the list goes on. You're doing it all. And you get used to doing it all until you get to the point where the business grows to a size where you physically cannot continue doing it all if you want it to grow and you want it to get bigger and better and more efficient. Now, at this point, you need some help. You need to bring on someone who you can teach the ways of your business and you can eventually pass responsibility onto. And this person needs to be there to manage certain areas that you can no longer do. For me, it was all the nutrition plans that needed writing and sending to clients alongside all the training programs. Now, I was busy speaking with all my clients and that was sort of my priority at the time, and for me was something that I needed to continue doing because that's why people come to me for my coaching, to talk to me, right? But with the amount of clients coming on board, I wasn't able to write up all the plans myself. So I hired some nutritionists and other coaches to help with all the plans that needed creating so that I could then just oversee them, look through them, make any amendments or changes, and then once happy, would send them off to the client. Now, it took me a good few months, right, to trust my new team, to let them do what I'd employed them to do and what they did best, and to keep my hands off their work and focus on my tasks. And I remember I kept saying, oh, don't worry, I'll just do this plan, you know, I'll do that plan. because I wanted to do everything myself, I couldn't let go of that responsibility, and I couldn't let go of or trust someone else to do it, because I knew I would do a good job. I knew I would do the best job. But what I came to realize was I was actually preventing efficiency, not just with my work, but with clients receiving their plans on time, and I was running myself into the ground. As soon as I let go of this and allowed my team to take full control, I ended up providing a way better service to my clients. The plans were in fact of a higher quality because I had people who specialized in what they were doing, focusing all their energy on their specific tasks. And overall, my business became a lot better. And the service I was giving my clients was a lot better. A lot of the time, we're able to do less if we try to do everything. And it's funny because when we try to do everything, or when we are doing everything, we think we're doing loads and we think we're being really productive, but it can be counterproductive. We have to learn to invest and coach other people. If you're managing a team, you also need to remove the idea of expecting people to be at your level and think the same as you or do the same as you. Equally, you have to be open to also learning from other people and allow them to lead you. I always say, if you run a business, it's not you at the top and everyone else underneath you. You are your employees. You represent your employees. You're one of them. And it's fundamental that you see yourself aligned with them and working with them. Yes, on paper, they may be working for you, but you are all working together and singing from the same hymn sheet, trying to deliver, hopefully, the same goal, whatever that may be, in whatever area your business is in. You want to find people who are connected to your mission, your vision, and your values. You want to bring people on board who complement your skill set, but also offer something different that will add a new dynamic to the team, and also someone you can learn from yourself. So important that even if you're at the top or it's your business, that you're still learning from other individuals, because that's how you grow. You also want to find people who are willing to learn and will be coachable. Now, I'm conscious I'm sort of steering a little bit off track and more towards business advice here, but I think whether you run a business or you're a part of one, or you have plans to build one or create one, you know, do either or both, these are some valuable lessons that I've learned so far that hopefully not only prove useful in a business sense, but also in a general personal growth sense. Don't try and do everything by yourself. You'll end up putting a ceiling above you by doing so, even though you think at the time it's benefiting you. Point number three. Moving on, point number four. Here we go. Just three more left. Point number four. You have to take, and you can write these down, by the way, or make some notes as you go along. I like to do that when I listen to podcasts, because I always like to just flip back. I've actually got a little book of like audiobooks and podcasts that I've listened to, and I'll just pause it, rewind it, and just jot down a couple of notes. And I have this book full of little key points that I've heard, just like as if you were to bookmark, you know, reading a book. I do it with audiobooks, and it's massively useful just having a flick through sometimes. Anyway, sidetrack. Let's get back onto it. Point number four, you have to take absolute responsibility in everything you do. Yeah, that was point number four. I thought I lost it for a second. You have to take absolute responsibility in everything you do. Blaming everything and everyone around you is only going to stop your growth. I personally believe that if you have the mindset that in life everything is your fault, when you come to realize this, it's extremely liberating. Now, I don't mean this in a total sense. If you're minding your own business and you get hit by a car that leaves you not able to walk, or you know, you get sexually assaulted, though, these things aren't your fault. If you've been abused as a child, not your fault, nothing that you can do about it. That is not what I'm inferring here when I say this. There are external things that happen in your life that aren't your fault. But what I am saying is this: it is your responsibility and for yourself to take accountability for how you come back from things that have happened to you. how you continue healing, recovering, trying to grow and continue living your life. If you sit there and blame that one thing, it can just be one thing that's happened to you for the rest of your life as to reasons why you can't do stuff, that's a very, very dangerous place to be living in. By blaming others and things around you in your life, you're essentially removing responsibility for yourself. Every time you blame something around you or you make an excuse, you actually amplify that in your imagination. And what I mean by this is that every time you speak out an excuse of blame, you're giving away your power and becoming weaker. You're giving those external things you blame your power, and by giving away your power, you're feeling weaker, more vulnerable. And that's where things like anxiety arises, because you're not in control. Now, you might be thinking, how do I take that power back then? Firstly, it starts with not playing the victim. I have encountered so many people who have lived a life of victimhood, and guess what? They get nowhere. They're constantly anxious because they have no control over things making them feel like this, because they're giving away their power to that very thing, and they never ever grow as a person. So that's number one. Secondly, it's about taking absolute responsibility for things going on in your life. That's how you gain control and power. Personally, and I think I've spoken about this before, but I do this thing called the mirror test. I look in the mirror. I do this and it works. I look in the mirror, don't think I'm a nutter, and I ask myself the necessary questions, maybe relevant to what's happening in my life at the time. Sometimes I'll go upstairs, go into my bathroom, and I'll have a word with myself. I'll ask my things like, why am I not producing my best at the moment? And I'll look at myself, a long, hard look in the mirror. I'll look straight into my eyes. Why am I not producing my best at the moment? Or maybe, why do I not have the time freedom at the moment? And you look at things. So these are actually two quite common things that I actually ask myself a lot, and it gets me thinking. And you look at things that aren't working in your life currently, and instead of passing blame, pointing fingers at things and people around you and making excuses, it gets you to take responsibility. You look at ways to control things again, to take back that power and make changes that are necessary. And it's so liberating when you have that mindset. So try it. Honestly, next time, if you feel like things are slipping and you find yourself blaming things, get your ass upstairs, go and look in the mirror and do the mirror test. Next time you're feeling out of control and you need to regain that power and responsibility. If you feel like you need to regain control of your health, for example, all you need to do is admit that. Admittance is the first thing. And if you can be honest with yourself, then your actions are more likely to follow what you know needs to be done. And you're more likely to then take responsibility and take the steps and the action. And it's a huge step in taking ownership of your life with what's happening in it and how you grow, or for that matter, how you don't grow. But passing the blame will never get you anywhere. So avoid it entirely if you can. Number five. One of the ways we block ourselves, and again, I think it's a big one, a very common one amongst a lot of people, myself included, is that we are scared of failure. Now, the other day, I read a study that just before the pandemic started, I think, I've actually got it written down here, let me see where it is, yeah, just under 775,000 new businesses were created. It's a lot of businesses. The study has suggested that on historical evidence, only around 155,000 of those businesses, I don't say only because that's a lot, sorry, I meant out of that 775,000 number of new businesses, 155,000 of those are to fail within the 2 years. 155,000. So that's around, hold on, let me do the maths quickly on my phone. Maths was never my strong point at school. My maths teacher used to tell me I was crap at it. Well, I still am. So, right. So that's about 20% of businesses to fail, okay, within the first 2 years, let alone after that. And what does that indicate? You're going to fail at some stage in your life. You are going to fail. Now, 20%, you might not seem a lot, but that is a lot of businesses that aren't going to make it past that 2 years. And if you look at the top businessmen, the top athletes, the top creators, inventors, writers, you name it, every single one of them has failed time and time and time again. I gave an example in one of my previous episodes about J.K. Rowling, who went and gave her Harry Potter script. She got rejected like 11 or 12 times by publishers. 11 or 12 times they turned around and said, no, what, this is terrible. And she just kept coming back. And I said that, like, I was reading that and I was reading about her and I was thinking, God, I think after the 8th or 9th time, maybe 10th, I'd be like, right, this is enough. I've taken enough rejection. I think I'm just going to park this. But you've got to keep coming back. And I used to see failure as a bad thing. I hated it. I took it personally and I let it affect me for days. And then I'd go back and be like, why did I fail? Why am I not good enough? Oh, I'm not good enough. And I'd look at all like the areas of my life and really work myself up about it and have pretty detrimental thoughts looking back at the sort of mindset that I was in. But you know what? Since then, I've realized that you will get scrutinized in your life. You will be unappreciated. You will be sabotaged. You will experience failures, some surprising failures. Your expectations won't be met. You'll lose. You'll fail again and again and again. So how do you carry on then? How do you take pride in what you do? There's a quote from this famous basketball coach called John Wooden, and he said to his players, success is a peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you made the effort to do your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. When you change what your definition of success is, suddenly failure doesn't become so destroying. And I think that's what old Johnny Boy was getting at. And in fact, it becomes a strengthening mechanism. You cannot find strength without weakness. Hey, there you go. You cannot find strength without weakness. That's one of my own quotes, by the way. Just made that up now, so stick it in your quote book. James Middleton, October 2021. You cannot find strength without weakness. You cannot. Not only do we learn more from failure than success, we learn more from bigger failures because we actually tend to scrutinize them more closely. It's so important we can do this as well. Acknowledge our weaknesses and accept our failures. It's the only way we learn and we grow. To be resilient after failures, we have to learn from them. And most of the time we know this, we just don't do it. Taking a step back and reflecting on our mistakes, on our weaknesses and our failures is paramount, but we often are so quick to overlook it. And going back to my earlier point, pass the blame onto something or someone else. We're often too insecure to admit mistakes to ourselves, or even too proud to admit them to others. So instead of opening up, we get defensive and we shut down. Psychologists have actually found, and again, I think I heard this on a podcast the other day, that over time, we usually regret the things that we missed, but not the chances that we took. So we normally only ever talk about the things that we didn't do and not the things that we did do. You regret the things you don't do, not the things you do do. Boom, there's another one for you. Fuck, I'm banging these out. So that is point number 5. Don't be scared of failure. Don't be scared of rejection. Use it and see it as a sign and a way of learning to grow and finding strength. Now, last but not least, number 6, which I guess is almost an extension of everything I've discussed so far about blocking your potential and your growth. And that's not focusing your energy on what really matters to you and what you truly, truly care about. Now, I get it, okay? Particularly on the world of social media, where we're constantly being exposed to everyone's successes and luxury living and essentially most people's highlight reel. And it automatically makes you think, God, I'm not doing enough with my life. Look at him doing all of this and her doing all of that. My life sucks compared to that. Even in real life, you know, when you go to an event or you meet people and they talk about their work or all their interests and what they're up to and what they're achieving and how great they are, which not always is the case. And even if they're not talking about how great they are, just, you know, they seem to be talking about a lot and know a lot. And these things they're talking about, you know nothing about. And it makes you doubt yourself, right? It makes you question your abilities and if what you're doing in your life is enough. I've experienced this on many occasions. I've gone home after, you know, an event or meeting people and talking to people, and I've sat down and I've opened up my laptop and I've started Googling all this stuff that I've never heard of before because I was panicking and I started feeling inadequate and sort of looking around thinking, does anyone else know what he's talking about, or is it just me, or am I just being an idiot, or, you know, do I need to know about this stuff? Like I needed to be on the same level of these other people, all these other people with my knowledge. But then I sat back and I asked myself, James, what the hell are you doing, man? Of course, if you meet people who are in different fields to you, or not even that, just simply not associated with you at all, you're going to feel slightly incomplete sometimes because you're spending time in an area unbeknown to you. If you spent time with, I don't know, Elon Musk, you'd feel you need to know more about space and, you know, buy an electric car probably after you've spoken to him. If you spent time with Greta Thunberg, you'd feel you need to know a lot more about the environment and start recycling more. But what you actually care about, what you actually focus your energy in these instances, other areas, they're important, of course, but not so important that you block your own potential and you slow your own growth down. Okay, so you need to keep that focus, that energy to yourself. You've got to keep focused on yourself, your own journey, your own growth as much as possible. It's great meeting other people and hearing about other things. Of course, you want to broaden your horizons. It's always good to be aware of this other thing, but don't let other things and people in your life or going around you in your life put you off your own journey and distract you and take you off your own path. If you look at all the best athletes, for example, and actors and musicians and artists, creators again, they are all focused entirely on their craft. They're obsessed with it. Becoming the best football player, for example, you know, making sure that every single training session is 100% football, 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 immersing completely into a role to give the best acting performance, learning and practicing the piece, the music piece to deliver the best possible performance on that instrument, disappearing to focus on producing the best piece of art if you're an artist. Now, that doesn't mean you need to become a recluse and completely shut off from the world around you or ignore the world around you, no. But what I'm getting at here is you need to be aware that the majority, if not all, of your focus needs to be on you and what you're good at, your craft, your potential, and your growth. Don't be put off by what others are doing or how much others know or how much others are making or how much information that you don't know. Now, I'm not saying don't learn other skills along the way. I'm a coach. I started off as a personal trainer, but I knew I had to learn about social media, marketing, editing, filming, finance, taxes, all the other stuff that comes with needing to grow as not only a person, but as a business, because these areas are all important to me and they're important to my line of work and becoming the best coach that I can be. But I learn, and I'm still learning these things which I can focus on that I truly care about and will contribute to my own growth. I'm not learning something just because I think it's important and useful. I'm learning things because it helps me be better at what I care about. I knew that what I really care about is helping people find and reach their true potential, both with their bodies, but also with their minds, their way of thinking, their habits, their work, their relationships. I realized that in order to do this, I needed to learn about social media to reach more people. I needed to learn about marketing to get my product and service out there for people to see. I needed to learn to film and edit to create content that helps and educates people. Learn to dance to entertain people. Okay, that part isn't as serious, but you know, it still counts. And I also learned to go deeper with all of you. Learn and continue to learn how to build an online coaching platform and a club that I can guide you consistently to your best self and give you all the tools you need to do so. I realized I needed to learn all of this so that I could have a team that I could trust. I needed to learn so that I could run several businesses at once. The common denominator is that all of it was focused and is focused on what I care about most, which is helping people, you, to discover your true potential. Because I truly believe that you listening right now, you are capable of so much in your life. You've got ambitions to be the strongest and healthiest person you can be and live in a body that you love that performs as best as it can. You've got the drive to want to have the best possible mindset so that you understand yourself better, but also have the tools to be able to deal with this crazy life and journey you're on and all the things that are going to get thrown your way. You've got the inner validation so that you don't rely on these external things to make you happy. You've got ideas that will, when materialized, have a positive impact on the world and people around you. And if I can help you ignite one or just some of those things and unleash your inner beast for the world to see, that is what excites me. That is what I'm trying to do. That's my purpose and my mission. And I never, ever lose focus of that. So don't get distracted and drawn into focusing on something you don't care about. Don't let your energy be drawn into things that waste it, because like I said earlier, your energy is incredibly important and you need to use it wisely because it runs out each day. So spend it on things that serve you and focus on what you need for you. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you guys are the best and I appreciate every single one of you, especially those who have been sharing these podcasts to your friends, family, on your social media, tagging me in your stories, anywhere. Okay, so big love for that. I'm just going to do a very quick recap of the points that I discussed today, the points that I believe might be and could be preventing, maybe they are preventing your growth. So the first one that I spoke about was thinking about things for too long rather than doing. Okay, stop being the person that thinks and talks about stuff. Start actioning and start doing. Number two, listening to too many people's opinions, even including close family and friends. Try and categorize people and turn to certain people for certain opinions or ideas or even support in your life, because you'll find that's much easier for yourself and for your growth. Don't try and do everything yourself. Number three, don't try and do everything yourself, okay? Because you can only go so far by yourself. You can go a lot further when you start trusting people around you and learning from other people around you and passing on responsibility and allowing other people to do things, okay? Number four, blaming everything around you and other people is gonna stop your growth, okay? You have to take absolute responsibility for everything in your life. And when you can have this mindset, it makes such a difference to how you respond to things, to how you react to things, and to how you use things that have happened in your life for the better and to grow and learn from them. Number five, being scared of failure. And in fact, I didn't really talk about it, but even like being scared of humiliation, okay? Don't be scared of failing, because it can be the best thing for you and it can be the most important thing for you to progress and for you to learn and grow. And finally, focusing on things that you actually care about. If you're not focusing on things you care about and you're not paying attention to your own growth, how do you expect to ever grow? Okay, always stay focused on yourself no matter what is going on around you, because you are the most important thing. Okay, and it's okay to be a little bit selfish with that. And that's it for today, folks. Thank you so much, and I will catch you at the next episode. Goodbye.